save you. He can move the mountains. Mighty to save. Oh, yeah. He conquered the grave. How about that? Because he conquered the grave, he made you more than a conqueror. Mighty to save. ladies and gentlemen, men and women, to use the simple words of David Jeremiah, I believe that he used to use ladies and gentlemen, but he gave up. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the beloved family, friends and foes, in-laws and outlaws, even foes in the family, I love it. When your family hates you and persecutes you, you know you're doing something great for God, for so they did him the same way. Standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial, family, evangelistic service, family members, my beloved. I love the brethren, and I know that you are part of the brethren and the sistren, but you're probably my favorite group. The standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial, family, evangelistic group. For you will try your best to make it live. You hate it when you miss it, but if you miss it, you will get the podcast and listen to the whole thing. And that has amazed me. And my son Daniel Ezekiel, who is taking a well-deserved break, so is my daughter Daniqua Grace and my baby daughter Danielle Elizabeth. They worked hard for the Lord, and I want them to enjoy themselves. Daniel Ezekiel, bless his heart, he not only did the full podcast for those who want to sit back and listen to the whole thing, he broke it down for many years. That's hard work, hard editing work, but he did that. And so I give God the glory that all of my children are grown now, on their own and living their lives. I hope none of them are living in sin in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I have warned them because of my preaching in the past, and my preaching now. Just got through preaching nearly every day throughout the month of June, which is supposed to be taken over by the sodomites and the homosexuals and the transvestites, that I warned them, because they know, all of these devils know, in the church and outside of the church, and my greatest enemies are in my own family and in the church, not outside of the church. The sodomites and the homosexuals don't bother me. Do you hear me? The transvestites, the transgendered, I'm sure if the devil told them to kill me, they'll try their best to kill me. But the devil knows not. The devil tells these transvestites and transgendered sodomites and homosexuals, and don't mess with him, because he doesn't care whether he dies or not. He's ready to die. he's prepared for death. So don't even bother him. Okay? Just leave him alone, because let him be. But now, what the devil is telling some people in the church, not outside of the church, and I've warned my children, Danny, Daniel, and Danita, Danae, Daniqua, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Danielle, I told them to take precautions. I told them that they probably need to move. I believe they're in the process of doing that and making that go smoothly. And I'm praying to God that it would go smoothly and get around, get away from certain people that they've dealt with in the past, even at one church. The pastor, his wife, one church in McKinney, Plano, Texas. Conway Edwards. I told my children, get away from that crowd because they are homosexual, sodomite affirming. And here's what I have made clear to my children. Because people are out to get me, they believe that they can hurt me more by killing one of my children. And I've told my children this already via email. And I have told them this. And I'm very serious about it. And the reason why I'm announcing it to you, the reason why I warned them, the reason why I have put it in writing, is to give them a heads up. Also, to protect them. And thirdly, so that if something bad happens, everybody will know I warned everybody. And it won't be the, I don't think it's going to be the sodomites and the transgendered and the homosexuals that would try to do them harm. I believe it will be religious people, church people. I believe that with all my heart. Anyway, my beloved, this is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 820. My daughter Danielle Elizabeth Breedlove White is still in charge of these devotional presentations, has done a wonderful job, and she's on break too, and needs to be on break, because she worked very hard as the baby child. Outside of her father, the greatest soul winner in the family, responsible for passing out over 1 million gospel tracts, she's a partly responsible. We passed out over 1 million gospel tracts down through the past 35 years, just as a family and a part of the church. The place that we passed out gospel tracts the most, I believe, or is right up there with the place we passed out the most. Believe it or not, was on Fort Benning military base, believe it or not, army base, as one place, not a whole city, but an area. Why they let us on that base, I don't know. It was just a God thing. We were able to go on Fort Benning at 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Sometimes we were on Fort Benning in the wee hours of the morning, passing out gospel tracts and invitations to church. And those tracts have gone all over the world. In the morning time, in the evening time, the police would come by and wave. They never stopped us, not once. and all seven of my children participated. And what a blessing that was. Danielle was not born yet, but the other six participated. But they all taught, I taught her well by the grace of God. Her older siblings taught her well. She knew what to do when she came out of the womb, and she took it and ran with it without fail. And now that I'm in the empty nest, I told my wife, who is not that excited about passing out gospel tracts, I said, now you're going to have to be like Danielle and remind me. And you can't wait till the last minute. We got to hit it and get it. And I told her that yesterday when we passed out some gospel tracts. And so this is chronological Bible reading time, episode number 820, where by the grace of God I read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint, this unique arrangement, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Psalm 91, a favorite psalm of many. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. I praise you and I thank you this evening for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Lord God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for the millions and the many and the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. Each and every one of us in my family, each and every one of us in the beloved family of Jesus Christ of God. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you afresh and anew for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and everyone in this audience, everyone in my family, and forgive us who's born again and saved. Lord, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, our failures, and all disobedience, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Lord, help us to be humble and true. Wash and cleanse our hearts, our minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the holy and precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Put a guard at our hearts, minds, tongues, attitudes, and temperaments that we would not sin against you this evening. And throughout our lives, help us to truly repent of all sin. And no matter how much we may be persecuted or provoked, Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would deliver each and every one of us in the family of God, in my family and in the Christian family in this country and around the globe. Those of us who are saved and born again, Deliver each and every one of us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways. And Holy Father God, I pray for my wife, Marika White, who made a profession of faith in you for the first time in her life, really. She had religion, but she's been lost all of these years. But she made a profession of faith on March the 4th in you this year, after being religious and interested in religion for all of these years, but not saved, which was evident. Lord God in heaven, right now she's not as strong as she should be, and she's not as consistent and as faithful as she should be to your word. So Lord, I pray for her, publicly and privately, for her to keep her word to you regarding the early morning she got saved and become a true Christian and not a phony and fake Christian who acts like the devil at home but acts like an angel in front of other people, church people, and her other family members. Lord, drive the demonic spirit of hypocrisy out of her life. And Lord, I pray for the salvation of her mother, her aunts, and her siblings. And I pray that you will cast the devil and the demons of hell out of and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, out of my wife, Marika White, and her family, and my side of the family as well. I pray for the salvation of my mother, religious but lost, and my two sisters as well. And Lord, I pray that they will show forth their salvation by being obedient to you. I pray, Lord, for all of my offspring, all of my children, that, Lord, you gave me the privilege of leading to you. And Lord, I pray that they will not backslide on you, that you will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help them to remember everything they have learned from your Holy Word. Help them to examine themselves and make sure that they're saved, especially a couple. I believe the others are saved and born again. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. And if any of them have the problem of demon activity in their life, cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of their lives. Cast out the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Judas is a generational, the spirit of Judas is a generational curse that comes down on my wife's side of the family. And sexual sins such as fornication and adultery comes down on my side of the family. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you will deliver them from these sins and from these curses. I pray a similar prayer for all people who are in this audience, saved and born again in this country and around the globe, and those who will be in this audience by on-demand video and podcasting, or watching us live as well on Gospel Light Society, DanielWhiteIII.com, GospelLightSociety.com, Facebook, BCNN1.com, all around the world. And Holy Father God, I pray that, and forgive me of my sin of not praying about this. I thank you for the system that my son Daniel, Ezekiel, and I put together to preach your holy word around the world, live and on demand. And I pray that you will continue to bless it, not only the video, but the audio too. For we're live streaming via audio twice and via video once, protected, because there are some devils and demons and people who are trying to block it. So surround it with your protection, a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. And Lord, bless it to continue to waft out the gospel sound all around the world. And Lord, I do pray that you will save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving and mourning. And Lord, lift our sinful burdens, guilt burdens, for those of us who are saved and born again and willing to confess our sins and to repent of our sins. Put a guard at our hearts, our minds, our tongues, our attitudes, and our temperaments, that we will not sin against you. And Lord, lift all of our burdens, cares, and worries, and troubles, and difficulties from off of our shoulders. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding at all times, your joy unspeakable no matter what is going on, that ability to take pleasure even in persecution and necessities and afflictions, and Lord, being able to glory even in these things. I give you the glory for them all. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you deliver us tonight from all tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. Deliver us, Lord, tonight also from all spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles and difficulties, Lord, that we all face. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will bless and protect my family tonight, especially my children and all other children in this audience and families that name the name of Christ in this audience and in this country and around the globe. Protect us, Holy Father God, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us tonight the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Christ. Holy Father God, I thank you for Mrs. Rist and her family, and thank you for what you have done through them, helping us to preach the gospel around the world, whether they even know it or not. And Lord, I pray that you will bless them for the cup of cold water for the prophet, so to speak. I pray also, Holy Father God, and I thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. They could be worse. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. And for the remembrance of your love, mercy, and grace, even while chastising us and rebuking us. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us to give you all of the glory, praise, and honor, and to give your Son all of the glory, praise, and honor, for it is in his name we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. ladies and gentlemen, as I always say, now I have to make sure I remember to say it. I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. At Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Glory be to God, shall we pray. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you so much for this powerful passage from your holy word. Thank you for the comfort that it gives. Help us to walk in it. Help us to obey it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial, family, evangelistic service. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast. This is episode number 663. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Holy Father God, we thank you for these wonderful devotional times with your servant, a man we all still call the Prince of Preachers. We thank you for the mother load of anointing you put upon him that rides all the way to this day. And we pray that you will speak to our hearts once again and change our lives. And also, Lord, we remember another Charles, Dr. Charles Stanley, who just went home to be with you. We thank you for his life as well. For you gave him a special anointing as well. And we thank you for what you've done in and through his life. That has been a blessing to us all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And Dr. Spurgeon goes on to say, this one morning in the year, we reserved to refresh the saints' memory upon the subject of prayer for ministers. Pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. And we do not, or rather we do most earnestly implore every Christian household to grant the fervent request of the text first uttered by an apostle and now repeated by us. Brethren, our work is solemnly momentous, involving weal or woe to thousands. We treat with souls for God on eternal business, and our word is either a salver of life unto life or of death unto death. Go ahead, Spurgeon. Pardon me. A very heavy responsibility rests upon us, and it will be no small mercy if at the last we be found clear of the blood of all men. My. As officers in Christ's army, we are the special mark of the enmity of men and devils. They watch for our halting, our failure, and labor to make us, and labor to take us by the heels. Go ahead, Spurgeon. Our sacred calling involves us in temptations from which you are exempt. May I repeat that to the regular church members? Our sacred calling involves us in temptations from which you are exempt. Above all, it too often draws us away from our personal enjoyment of truth into a ministerial and official concentration of it. Allow me to repeat this nugget in your hearing, because many people do not understand this. I have taught this to you, but maybe Spurgeon can get it across better than I have. Basically, what I have said in the past, if you're always making the bread, and you don't have something from God that gives you the enjoyment in constantly making the bread, and you want to sit down and enjoy the bread like everybody else, you're in the wrong business if that's your mentality. I have taught people down through the years, if you're called by God to preach and to serve the Lord in the house of God and in the ministry, you have to get your joy from serving. You will hardly ever get your joy from sitting down and eating. You're constantly in a flux. You're constantly in a battle doing this work for the Lord, because as Spurgeon has already mentioned in this passage, the devil, his demons, and men who are filled with demons are constantly trying to grab us by the heels and flip us over. And sometimes they're in your own family. Sometimes they're in your own church. False brethren who look like brethren, talk like brethren, but they're false brethren. He goes on to say, our sacred calling, our holy calling, as God called preachers, involves us in temptations from which you are exempt. Above all, it too often draws us away from our personal enjoyment of truth. While preaching the truth and preaching the gospel may bring an inner joy from time to time from heaven, we don't enjoy it like you who are receiving the truth. Is what he's saying. Into a ministerial and official concentration of it. Into a ministerial and official consideration of it. If you're born again and you're called by God to preach, there's a certain joy that comes, but it is also connected to labor, and is not easy. And you only go on by the grace of God. Amen, you preachers. We meet with many naughty cases. That is, I didn't say naughty, I said naughty. That's what Spurgeon said. K-N-O-T-T-Y. And our wits are at a non-plus. We observe very sad backslidings, and our hearts are wounded quite often. We see millions perishing, and our spirits sink. We wish to profit you by our preaching. We desire to be blessed to your children. We long to be useful both to saints and sinners. Therefore, dear friends, intercede for us with our God. Pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Miserable men are we if we miss the aid of your prayers, but happy are we if we live in your supplications. May I say here that the greatest thing that John Maxwell ever did was to emphasize and to teach and to create a program. For you know he's good at creating programs, he and his staff, at Enjoy, to get the people in the church to pray for him. In fact, I believe the reason why John Maxwell of Slender Apparatus became great is because he taught his church to pray for him in a systematic way. And that's the greatest thing he's ever given to the church. That's the greatest thing he's ever done to the church, as far as I'm concerned, done for the church. Because that's a powerful thing. when you get the people of God praying for you on a daily basis. John Maxwell understood where the power was. The power was not in machinery. The power was not in talented people being in leadership. He learned a long time ago, probably from the holiness folks in his spiritual lineage, that the power was in prayer. As the old saints used to say, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. Let's get back to Spurgeon. You do not look to us, but to our master for spiritual blessings. And yet, how many times has he given those blessings through his ministers? How about that? Ask then again and again that we may be the earthen vessels into which the Lord may put the treasure of the gospel. We, the whole company of missionaries, ministers, city missionaries, and students, do in the name of Jesus beseech you, brethren, pray for us. And to make a practical point of this, would you please pray for me? I need your prayers. Pray for me in the ministry after 43 years. I don't know how many more years the Lord will give me to preach. I know the greatest thing he used me for was to preach the gospel and the word of God and to warn this nation, to warn the church, and to warn the world of the plague that came and hit us. God told me something bad was going to happen, and he wanted me to warn everybody, and I did. I preached the gospel and the word of God nearly every day for over seven years. And so my children, who helped me tremendously, you know, they deserve a break today, and I'm so happy for them. And I pray that they will enjoy their lives and in a holy fashion for the glory of God. I pray that they will do missionary work and travel around the world and play golf and throw frisbees and just have a good old time, because in the words of Dr. Freddie Hain, they did the doggone thing. They did a great job for the glory of God. And so I'm so thankful for all of those years. And God has led me to keep on preaching and preaching his word, because he does not want us to drop our God. He does not want us to backslide. He does not want us to quit because things are so bad. And so God is leading me to preach nearly every day through June, nearly every day in the month of July, and still I have a whole lot of other work that I'm doing, but this is something that God wants me to do for the benefit of the people who are struggling and going through. At this time, we're going to look at the family verses, as we've done so many times down through the years in this service, a devotional that deals with family issues from the Word of God. Because if you don't deal with the family issues, you're going to end up like Kevin Costner and his wife and be in a mess. Just a mess. And so many other Christian couples. You have to do it God's way. Ephesians 5, 22, 24. Tomorrow we will be dealing with the husband I may be preaching again tomorrow. So the next time we do this devotional, we'll be dealing with the husband. But today we are going to deal with what God has to say to the wife. Ephesians 5:22-24. Wives, this is a commandment, by the way. This is not a suggestion. God deals mostly in commandments. He's not in the suggesting business. And God expects you to obey Him. And God is this way. Understand that if you don't obey Him, there are consequences in this life and in the life to come. Okay? I mean, and what I am afraid of is there are so many pastors who think that they are more loving than God. And because you don't like something, they change things to make it, to make you like it. Okay? And that's not good for you. It's not good for him, for sure. But so many pastors have done this, that when they hear the truth, and they know the truth, they won't agree with it. They won't stand with the man of God preaching the truth, and they won't support it. Even though they know what they're doing is not working. But it is my job as a prophet to continue to preach to the pastors and the priests and to tell them and to remind them that their job is to obey God, not the people. When was the last time you heard a sermon on this passage? You have not heard one. Because there are certain passages that pastors and priests will not preach on. And quite frankly, a Catholic priest ought not to preach on anything regarding the family, period. He does not know what he's talking about. Did you hear me? A single Catholic priest ought not to preach to a man or to a woman regarding the family, period, because you have no clue what you're talking about. And those of you who think you know about married life, marriage and family life, and you're single and you have never been married, I don't care if you've been shacking up or whatever you've been doing, it's not the same. And you can't tell, excuse the bad English, but you can't tell me nothing. No, because see, you're not going to understand some things until you get into this bad boy. Until you get into marriage. Hearest thou me? You can have your thoughts all you want to. You can read all of your books. You can read 1,000 books on marriage. You will never know anything about marriage until you get into it and stay in it for a while. And I've always stated this, man, for years. If you're not married, you can't tell me anything about marriage. That's why I don't even listen to some family members who try to tell somebody something. I'm going to do you like Dwight McKissick did that woman. Where's your husband at? I'm still married. Evidently, my wife is all right. I don't need any advice from you. Are you married? What's up with your family? Huh? I don't hear it. Young people who try to say something about marriage and they have never been married. I don't care if you had a boyfriend or girlfriend. That does not mean anything. That's not the same. As one pastor said down in Florida, things that are different are not the same. And that's a lesson you can take with you and learn something from. Things that are different are not the same. Well, I was involved with a lesbian, and I was involved with a gay man, and we had our spat. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't talk to me. Things that are different are not the same. I don't know what in the world. Excuse me, Dr. Evans. Because I'm getting ready to say something. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no clue. That's not the same. In fact, it is sinful and demonic. Okay? Because you had a girlfriend, a boyfriend, and y'all had a relationship, and you had some spats, and that does not mean anything. Marriage is a different ballgame. Marriage is a different ball game. It takes a man and it takes a woman. And a Christian man and a Christian woman, that with God being the center of it, for it to last. And everybody who's been married, they know it. Yeah. And most people who have been married a while would like to get out of it. But if they fear God and they love God and they want to obey the word of God, they stay in it, and that's a man for you and that's a woman for you. The rest are boys and girls and little people who are childish in their behavior. I do not have a problem with having multiple wives personally. But God does, because Jesus said in the beginning was one man and one woman. And that's it. And that is truly enough. I can get with Abraham. I can get with Abraham and David and multiple wives and Solomon and concubines. Man, I wish. But I know God is not going to bless me as a gospel preacher to do that. So I don't pray for that, and I don't desire that. I don't want that. See, we must do it God's way. And God's way is the best way. Ephesians 5:22-24, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Sister girl, let me tell you something. Sometimes in life, if you want things to go well with you, from God's hand and from God's standpoint, and to gain God's blessings, sometimes in life, you just have to do the right thing and leave the consequences, as Charles Stanley has said, with God. God, all God is telling you here is to show respect and to submit to and line up under your husband. Now, everything that we are called to do and commanded to do may be difficult or hard for each of us. For it may be hard for your husband to love you, which he's commanded to do. But he must do it anyway. And if the husband does not love his wife, as we're going to deal with next time, and the wife does not respect and submit to her husband, it's not going to work. That's why we have over half the people going to the divorce court. Because they're trying to take the toy out of the toy box and trying to put it together without reading the instructions from the creator of the toy. And it does not work. You look at me real good. I'm telling you, it will not work. You can't come up with your own rules, as so many of you have, including pastors and pastors' wives. You have come up with your own little plan. That's why you write so many books. Because you're trying stuff out on people that you tried that did not work. If you don't do this chapter and chapter 6 in the marriage and in the family, it's not going to work, my dear friend. Period. No matter how much you want it to work, it's not going to work. God is the one who created the family. God is the one who made a man and a woman. And I want to just remind you, that's a beautiful thing. Oh, yes. It's a beautiful thing, a man and a woman getting together. It's an ugly thing when a man and a man is getting together, and a woman is getting together. And you know it's nasty and wrong and ugly. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, even the church is in subjection to her husband, Jesus Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's that for the family tonight. If you're born again and you're saved, you're not to do it just for reward and blessings that you can get from God. If you're born again and you're saved, you do right because it is right to do right. You do right because you know God. Listen to me very carefully, because most of you have forgotten this. Most of you have foolishly lost this along the way. I'm here to remind you that God is watching everything you do, every attitude you take, every word you say, 24/7. You cannot get away from God. So, and you will give an account for what you do in this life. Now, dear friends, let's pray for others. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would have mercy and grace upon such wicked, evil, and ungodly people, people who don't even want to repent of sin. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our wicked sins, of not obeying your great commandment and not obeying your great commission. We have sinned against you and we have failed you. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would have mercy and grace upon the millions of people who are still hurting from the coronavirus plague and the death, multiple death in many cases, of family members. Comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation. And now, Lord, we pray for some coronavirus impacted families. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Virginia Police Officer Woodrow W. Doughty III. Comfort them as only you can, and comfort the rest of these families. We pray for the family and friends of Texas Police Officer Tracy Adams. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania Theater Director David Matthews. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Indiana healthcare worker Barry McNulty. We pray for the family and friends of Florida Police Sergeant Shane Owens. And Lord, we pray now for all of those who have believed in you and who have gotten saved. Lord, help them to stand, who have heard the gospel from this pulpit. Help them to stand strong in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. Help them to stand strong in the faith and not backslide again. Reclaim the backslidden. Save that soul that is near as hell. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are not a born-again Christian, if you are not saved from hell, and you want to be saved from hell, so that when you die, you would go to heaven and not to hell. Allow me to tell you some bad news first that you must understand before you can understand and appreciate the good news. Bad news number one, you are a wicked, evil, ungodly, disobedient sinner. And so am I. So is the Pope, so is the Dalai Lama, and so is Joel Osteen. For the Bible says we all, A-L-L, all is all, and that's all we all means. Everybody, we are all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the holiness of God, the perfection of God. Do you know that there is somebody who's perfect in this universe? God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. They have never done anything wrong. They are the standard, and we have fallen short of their standard and their holiness and their glory. Every last one of us. That includes Elon Musk, Bezos, the Meta leader, all of the billionaires of the world, presidents and kings. King Charles is a no good sinner as well. God is our standard. Jesus Christ is our holy standard. And we have fallen short, every last one of us. Bad news number two. We're going to die because of our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Bad news number three. If you die without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and praying and asking Him to save you from hell, you will go to hell and you will spend eternity in hell. You say, well, I just can't believe that God would send me to hell. Your unbelief does not change the fact that you're going to hell if you don't stop by the cross and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and call on His name and pray and ask Him to save you. That is a fact. For Jesus Christ preached more on hell than the prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than the apostles in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Why? Because He hates us? No, because He loves us. Sometimes people in authority have to tell us things that we don't like because they are true. And they tell us this because they love us. And they don't want to see us destroyed because of the situation. They don't want us to suffer. God does not want us to suffer. Jesus Christ does not want us to suffer. That's why the Lord has not come back yet. He wants you to hear this message and believe in Him and get your soul saved. Get your eternal life insurance policy. If you will. For Jesus Christ, here's the good news, by the way. Hell is bad news. Sin is bad news. Death is bad news. That's all bad, man. Bad. But here's the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And dear friend, follow me in the sinner's prayer. I prayed it over 43 years ago. Thousands of others have prayed it down through the years. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a wicked sinner and that I've done evil in your sight repeatedly. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of my wicked sins, my failures and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, in you. Please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to truly change. And help me to truly repent of my sins. And follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you prayed that prayer in sincerity, according to the Bible, the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. So may I say to you, congratulations for listening to the gospel, understanding the gospel, and getting saved by the gospel. Now I want you to go get your free discipleship book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Go to gospellightsociety.com. That is gospellightsociety.com, and tap on the book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said, "I am the door." And since you have just gotten saved, you just entered through the door. So read this little book based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and it will give you the next steps in an organized fashion that will help you to grow in the faith and become a strong Christian. And then right after that, go to the Gospel Light Society podcast button on the front page of gospellightsociety.com, and it will take you to thousands of podcasts for you to listen to. The book is free and the podcasts are free at any time. Thousands listen to them. I don't know what kind of revival is breaking out in South Africa. South Africa is the leading country listening to my podcasts above America. It has not always been the case. America's close behind. But this is the first time that South Africa has taken the lead. India is up there and other places as well. So we thank God that the Word of God is going forth all across the country and around the globe. So listen to these podcasts and you will grow, I think, even faster if you listen to a podcast a day on your way to work, on your way home, lying down in the bed at night, sitting in your easy chair, It will be a blessing to you. Also, email us at DW3, that's Daniel White 3, just DW3, at GospelLightSociety.com. Let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord came into your life. Email us any prayer requests or any questions that you may have. You can also email at GLS@GospelLightSociety.com. We have people standing by to get your email, answer you, and send it to me so that I can start praying for you. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, remember, Christian friend, pray without ceasing. I cannot emphasize this enough. Pray first thing when you get up in the morning. Read the Bible. Read at least 3 chapters. If you can't do that, at least 1 or 2. And then meditate on the Word of God throughout the day and obey the Word of God. Remember now, you are a soldier of the cross. So remember the motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis. Be always faithful. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Supra, always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord above. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life and turkeys. I love turkey very much as far as eating, but I don't hang with turkeys because turkeys can't fly like an eagle. And that's how God wants you to soar, flying like an eagle. So keep that in mind. Pray for me as I pray for thee. If the Lord should tarry his coming and I live by the grace of God, I may be back later on tonight. If not, Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow as the music plays. To know. Oh, I wish I could sing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My. Yes. I believe. Uh-huh.